am too. We have began a series this month entitled The Faithfulness of Our Fathers. And we're focusing on faithfulness as a theme for the month of June. And you know, I believe with all my heart that when someone comes to Christ, we are then to take on his nature, his characteristics, and even his character. You know, our goal as a believer is to become like Christ, is to be conformed to his image. Is God faithful? Yes. And if God is faithful, that means we should be faithful. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. And I want to encourage you too, for this Wednesday night refreshing, we're going to continue along the lines on how the Word affects you. And I would encourage you to come, if you can, this Wednesday night for an hour. And the Lord was leading us into some great things this past week. And I'll tell you what, it's good. So if you can make it this Wednesday, we'd love to see you at 7 p.m. Hebrews chapter 3. And let's start with verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him that appointed him." Say, he was faithful. "And he was faithful to him that appointed him. As also Moses was faithful in all his house." Say, all his house. So Moses, God is calling Moses faithful in all his house. "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant." Say, as a servant. "For a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after." So the faithfulness of Moses is a testimony for us today. The faithfulness of Moses is still speaking to us today as an example. Amen? And I'm not going to spend my time on Moses because I talked about him last week. And if you missed last week, you have to get the CD. And but I'm just going to give you a few things, you know. Moses was a faithful listener. In other words, he heard God's word. God gave him an instruction, a command. And we know that he's faithful because he carried that out. All right? The only time that there's two things that you can tell if someone's faithful: time and opposition. The only time that you can tell if someone's faithful is over a period of time and what they do when opposition comes against them. Because a faithful person, when they face opposition, even if they get knocked down 10 times, they're going to get up 10 times and finish what they started. Can you say amen? So Moses was a faithful listener. He was a faithful doer. He did what God asked him to do, even though he had some doubts. He didn't think he could speak well. He didn't think he was the right man for the job. He didn't think that, he didn't know who he was representing. He didn't think that the people would listen to him, and God addressed every one of his doubts, and he ended up doing what God said do, even though he was a little bit reluctant at first. Amen? It's not how you start that counts, but it's how you finish. So if you got off to a bad start, there's hope. You can finish well. Moses was a faithful intercessor. Every time he had problems in the camp, people would complain against him, come against him. What did he do? He prayed. He interceded. He was on his face before God. He was a faithful intercessor. Because every time a problem arose, he prayed. Boy, if every Christian was like that. Every time a problem arises, our first response should be pray. Amen. Stop, drop, and pray. When you're on fire, you stop, drop, and roll. But when there's a fire occurring in your life, you stop, drop, and pray. And Moses was a faithful worshiper. He set up a tent outside the camp called the tabernacle, a place of meeting. And there he met with God daily. And the glory of God would come down. And God would speak to him as a man speaks to his friend. He was a faithful worshiper. He was a faithful churchgoer. Can you say amen? Moses went to the tabernacle daily. Hallelujah. He was a faithful leader. He led the people out from Egypt, and he led the people through the Red Sea and into the wilderness. He was a faithful servant. He did what God wanted him to do. Amen? So that was a brief thing on faithfulness. But I want to talk about faithfulness for a little bit. What is it? What does it mean to be faithful? Well, you could think of words like trustworthy, reliable, dependable, stable, steady, loyal. All those would help us understand what it means to be faithful. Faithfulness means to obey even when you don't feel like it. Come on. It means to obey. See, faithfulness to God is not about how we feel. Because some days you're going to feel good, some days you're going to feel bad, but you know what? The Word of God supersedes our feelings. I'm sure that the cross didn't feel too good. But the Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the suffering and the shame. There was a joy that was set before him, and that joy was greater than the pain he experienced. Amen? Faithfulness means to keep an assignment until it is completed. You know, I had a bad habit of starting a book and not finishing it, and then starting another one and not finishing it. Do I know anybody like that? Don't raise your hand. But what's the point? You know, if I'm going to be faithful, a faithful person is one who finishes what they start. They complete it. They stick to it until the task is done. I mean, that's what it means to be faithful. That means you have faith. You're full of faith from A to B, and that faith carries you until the completion of the task. That's what it means to be faithful, full of faith, right? Faithfulness means to be trustworthy, dependable, and reliable. Can God trust you? Maybe he hasn't asked you to do anything great because he can't trust you. I'll let you think about that for a moment. Faithfulness is being a good steward of what God gives you. You know that nothing is yours. I don't care if the deed to your house is in your name or the title to your vehicle is in your name. It's not yours. God allows you to use stuff. And anytime that he wants to use your stuff that he gave you, well, no, I bought it myself. Really? God gave you your brain, your strength, your breath? I don't think so. He enabled you to do what you did to earn the money. So it all goes back to God. You know, it was like the two scientists, some scientists were arguing with God. And they said, God, we don't need you. You know, we have advanced so much in genetics that we don't need you. And God says, okay, let's have a competition. Let's see who can make the best man. Scientists said, okay, we're ready for it. And the scientists went to grab the dirt, and God said, get your own dirt. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, right? So faithfulness means to be a good steward. That means that anytime God wants to use your stuff for his glory, you allow him to do so. Because I guarantee you that if God can get it through you, he will definitely bring it to you. Amen? So a faithful steward. Faithfulness is to follow God's pattern, nature, and character. We're to follow his example, do what he did. Faithfulness treasures, keeps, and practices God's word. Amen? And then let's look at a few things of the faithfulness of Jesus. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. You know, I thought about it. The Lord's got kind of a sense of humor. He's leading me to talk on faithfulness, and last week we had 26 people who weren't here for various reasons. This is faith in action right here. Amen? I'm not moved by what I see. Glory to God. John chapter 6, verse 37. He said, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. You might say, I came down from heaven not to do my own way. You know who someone, you know what describes someone who always wants their own way? Pride. It's always about me. It's always about I. That's pride. You know who uses pride? That's the devil. He got kicked out of heaven for pride. I will exalt myself above God. I will exalt myself above his throne. I. And God went doink, doink, doink. He got kicked out of heaven. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Jesus himself said, I did not come to do my own will. What did he come to do? But the will of him who sent me. He came to do what God wanted him to do on this earth. What are you doing on this earth? Are you doing your own thing? Well, that might last for a while, but it's not going to sustain you. Amen? You got to find out what God wants you to do and do that. And verse 39 says, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all of which he has given me, I shouldn't lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me. Isn't it interesting how Jesus knew exactly what God's will was? He wasn't going through life clueless. Jesus knew exactly what his will was. You can know exactly what God's will for your life is. If you don't know, he said, I will teach you to do my will. And then he gives us a prayer in Colossians. You can pray to be filled with the knowledge of his will. So he'll teach you and you can ask for it. So there's no excuse for not knowing God's will. Verse 40, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All right? Now I want you to go to Numbers chapter 9. And we're going to talk about another father of the faith, Abraham. And we're going to see how the faithfulness of Abraham manifests itself. See, Abraham, we're going to talk a little bit about the life of Abraham, but we're going to focus on the things that Abraham did. I want you to know that Abraham was a giver. He did not withhold anything that the Lord asked of him. And we're going to see that Abraham, he gave his life, he gave tithes, he gave that which he loved, he gave enough for the next generation, and we're going to see that in the life of Abraham. But I want you to notice something here in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7. Nehemiah, I'm sorry. Did I say Numbers? I'm looking at Numbers. No, it's Nehemiah. You know why? Because I spelled it wrong. I have N-U. It should be N-E. I'm sorry. It's Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 7. Now this was Nehemiah who was talking to Israel about Abraham. And notice what he said. Verse 7. You are the Lord God who did choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and gave him the name Abraham. You found his heart faithful. Say he had a faithful heart. And found his heart faithful before you. And you made a covenant with him. See, God was able to trust Abraham to establish an everlasting covenant with him. He was faithful. And see, God knows whether or not you're going to be faithful before he asks you to do something. And you know, I read a little statement today that kind of struck me. People want the privileges that Abraham had, but in order to do that, they have to have the faith that he had. Amen? So God found Abraham's heart faithful. You know, both Moses and both Abraham, the scripture talks about their faithfulness, how faithful they were. And it was their faithfulness that made the difference in their life. And go with me to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. And I want you to see verse 6. The Lord is talking here and he says, "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walks in a perfect or blameless way, he shall serve me." Now go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Look at verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old, or 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be what? Perfect or blameless." So Abraham must have been blameless because God's eyes was on him. He saw his faithfulness. He saw his heart. Isn't it interesting how God didn't say he had a faithful mind or he had faithful actions? See, he had a faithful heart. See, if you're going to be faithful to God, it's going to have to come out of your heart. You're going to have a heart of faithfulness. And when you have a heart of faithfulness, it will be translated into action. You can't have faithful actions without having a faithful heart. And see, God invited Abram to walk before him and to be blameless. And it was there in chapter 17 that his name became Abraham. And he chose to believe God. And it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And his name was changed, signifying a change in his nature. And then Proverbs 28:20, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "A faithful man will abound with blessings." And if you read Genesis 13:2, you'll find out how many blessings or what the blessing caused Abraham to have. The blessing is not the stuff. The blessing is the empowerment to get the stuff. Amen? Genesis 13:2 says Abraham was very rich. Say very rich. Say very rich. Say very rich. I want you to get used to saying very rich. God has not called you to be a beggar or to live on Barely Get Along Street next to Grumble Alley. Come on. I don't want to live on Grumble Street next to Barely Get Along Alley, or whatever I said. God has called you to higher things, and he will promise to bless you, to increase you, to multiply you, to abound. Abram was faithful. Look at Isaiah 41:8. Isaiah 41:8. I want you to see this. Look at this. This is powerful. "But you, Israel, are my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my what? My friend." There's three places in the Word of God that the Bible describes Abraham as God's friend. You know, when you're a friend of God, things are going to go well with you. When God is your friend, he will manifest himself with you. He will talk with you, all right? He's your friend. 2 Chronicles 27 says Abraham was a friend of God forever. Right now, in heaven, Abraham is there with God, his friend. And they're probably having a good time, like they always did. All right? Now, here's the point that I want to get to today. All that stuff was just, that's the hors d'oeuvres. Now we're going to get to the meat. Okay? There was a characteristic in Abraham's life that caused him to excel, and that he was this. He was faithful in giving. All right? We're going to study the different things that Abraham gave in response to God. Go with me to Genesis chapter 12. All right, Genesis chapter 12. You know, when you're faithful to give, giving includes more than just your money or your things. It includes you. You know, because if you had no money or if you had no things, you still have gifts, talents, and abilities that you could offer to others in service. Abraham was faithful in giving. And it's this faithfulness in giving that God calls him to enter into an eternal covenant that we still operate under right now. You read Galatians, we are sons and daughters of Abraham by faith. His covenant is still in operation today. Powerful. I'm telling you, giving, being faithful in giving, will release the blessing of the Lord. It will empower you. It will cause things to happen in your life on a grand scale. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, you know, there was something about Abram that God looked upon that he was the one to break out of his family. You know, they were in Haran. You know who Haran was? Haran was Abraham's brother who had passed away. And apparently his father, Terah, had not gotten over the death of his son because he could not get out of Haran. But God looked upon Abram. He looked upon his heart. He saw something there. He saw a faithful heart in Abram. And he knew that Abram would carry out his task when offered it to him. He knew that Abraham was trustworthy, was dependable, was reliable. He was faithful. So what does God do? He said unto Abram, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. Abram had to leave everything that he knew, everything that was familiar to him, everything that was comfortable to him. Leave your homeland, your city, your father's house, and go to a land where I showed you. Where are you going to send me, God? I'm going to show you. That means you're not going to see anything until you start moving. Faithfulness. Go with me to Exodus 15 for a minute. All right? I got to show you the key to faithfulness. Exodus 15, verse 26. This is the key to faithfulness. Exodus 15, verse 26. He said, if you will diligently, say diligently. Diligently listen or hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. You need to listen to his voice. And will do that which is right in his sight. You need to do what's right in his sight no matter if anybody else sees you or not. And will give ear to his commandments. You need to listen to the word of God. And keep all of his statutes. I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. So the key to being faithful is listening, doing, and keeping all that God has said to you. Now the first step in being faithful is you've got to recognize God's voice. You've got to be able to recognize God's voice between another voice. You know, there are a lot of voices in this world. Was that God or was that me? Or was that pizza I ate last night? How many know that, you know, I have some pretty crazy dreams when I eat certain foods at night? I'm like, whoo, don't want to eat it at that time anymore anyway. So the key to being faithful is listening, doing, and keeping. All right? Let's go back to Genesis 12. All right? I want you to see something. So God spoke to Abraham, right? I don't know if he appeared to him. I don't know how it was in that moment when God heard. I know how God speaks to me. You know, when God speaks to me, it's like taking this box of Kleenex and laying it down here. God will lay something on my heart, and that's the majority of the time how he speaks to me. I've never heard an audible voice, but he kind of lays things on my heart, and that's how God leads me and guides me. Now, Fiona, she dreams a lot. She has visions, you know. And she sees things because she's a seer. She has a different anointing. So God speaks to her differently than he does to me. But the point is, you got to be able to recognize when God is speaking to you so that you can do what he's telling you to do. How did Abram know that this was God? You ever think about that? I mean, how would you feel if all of a sudden the Creator shows up at your door and says, I want to tell you to get out of your father's house, to get out from your city and your homeland and go to a place where I'm going to show you. There had to have been some type of relationship in order for him to recognize that this was God. Okay? So he told him, first of all, that he had to leave. Say leave. And then he gives him a promise or a reward for leaving. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Say a blessing. So in other words, God was telling him he would make his name great, he would give him a great reward, and he would make him a blessing. Now, is leaving all that you're familiar with worth having that type of a blessing? Is leaving all you're familiar with worth having that type of a blessing? Some of you aren't too sure. Let me ask you this. If you were Abram today and God spoke that to you, would you do it? Some of you are thinking, oh, I don't know if I would. Well, you need to do a faithfulness checkup. God spoke something to Abraham. And I'm calling him Abraham because I know his name was changed, but this is Abram, but I'm just going to refer to him as Abraham. All right? The instruction was simple. It was clear. He didn't have any doubt as to what God wanted him to do. All right? And he said when he does it, he will be rewarded. Okay? There's the trust factor. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and in all you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. If Abram would have never stopped, if Abraham would have never left home, those things that God promised would have never come to pass. It required someone with a faithful heart to follow an instruction in essentially kind of blind. You know, he didn't know where he was going. All he knew was God's voice. All he knew was what God said. But the question is, is that enough to be faithful to? Is that enough to carry out that assignment, to complete that task, to be dependable, reliable, trustworthy? Is the word that God said to you, is that enough to sustain you? Yes, it is. Look at verse 4. How did Abraham leave? Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. Say, as the Lord had spoken to him. So essentially, you could say that the word of God was his guide, right? Abraham didn't have the Holy Ghost at this time. He had God's voice. He had God's word. He must have known something about the nature and the character of God in order for him to step out and to do this. He must have seen something about God prior to this because he responded quickly. He obeyed immediately. He did what the Lord asked him to do. He did it within those parameters, except that he took Lot. Now, when God says leave your family, there's a reason. Because who caused Abraham problems along the way? Lot. So if there's a part of God's word that you disobey, you will have consequences for that. Abraham could have avoided that problem had he just followed God's word. All right? But he departed as the Lord had spoken to him. All right? He was 75 years old. Say, it's never too late to hear God's voice. And if you've missed obeying his voice before, repent and move on and obey his voice now. Amen? There's mercy. There's grace. Did Abraham do everything perfect? No. He messed up a few things. But I want you to notice something. He was faithful to give his life. Okay, Lord, I'm sowing my life. I'm going to go where you want me to go. He gave his life. He was faithful in giving. God asked for his life. Everything that he was familiar with. Where are you going, Abraham? Oh, the Lord's going to show me. Okay, boy, that guy's weird. Where are you going, Abraham? Oh, the Lord's going to show me. Well, you know, I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I know that the Lord's going to show me. Ooh, that guy's. God bless you, Abraham. You have a good one. Glad I'm not going with you. Think about it. Faithfulness. He went and did what God told him to do. He listened. He obeyed. He kept. And he did. Faithfulness. He gave everything that he had to God. Go down to verse 7. He passed through the land. Verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. Now, not only did God spoke to him first, but now the Lord appeared to him. There's a different level of relationship now. It's not just a voice on the phone, but now there's a presence. Now the Lord appeared to him. All right? And he said, unto your seed. Do you realize that at this time Abraham had no children? He said, unto your seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar unto the Lord who appeared from him. Now I want to talk a little bit about an altar. An altar was a place of worship. It was a place of sacrifice. It was a place where God would meet you and he would reveal a characteristic about himself. And we know from Genesis 8:20 that when Noah built an altar, he just didn't build the altar, but he gave something on the altar. Say he gave something. See, whenever the Bible describes an altar, there's always an offering. I want you to think about this. Who built the altar? Abraham. Why did he build it? Because the Lord appeared to him. In honor of the Lord, he built something to honor the Lord where him and the Lord could fellowship. As a place of remembrance, he built an altar. Now, he had to, I don't know what he built the altar out of. If it was wood or stone, he had to gather the wood. He had to put it together. He had to put the table on top. And go with me to Genesis 8:20 for a second. Genesis 8:20. Let me show something here to you. Okay? It says that Noah built an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Say a burnt offering. Okay? And I'm sure that Abraham did the same thing. He built this altar in honor of the Lord, and I'm sure on this altar he gave an offering. It took his time to build it. It took his effort and energy to build it, and it took an offering because he wanted to honor the presence of the Lord. And this wasn't the first altar that Abraham built. If you read his story, there were several altars that he built. He traveled to one place, he would build an altar. Wherever his tent was, he had an altar. He had a place of worship. He had a place, he had an outlet for his giving. Because he was faithful to give. See, when you step out and do what God calls you to do, it's going to require your life. It's going to require your whole being, your wholehearted. You know, the Bible talks a lot about wholeheartedness. Not half a heart, not part of a heart, but your whole heart. With God, it's all or nothing. And he gave us that example, didn't he? What did God offer to us on his altar? His only son. How many sons? He didn't have more than one son. But yet, God freely offered his son. And through that offering came such a blessing of you and I and multitudes coming to the knowledge of the truth based upon that one gift on that altar called the cross. See, if we don't catch being faithful in giving, we're going to miss out on what God wants to do. We're going to miss out on his best. Did God tell Abraham to build an altar? Huh? He appeared to him, and just out of response to that presence, Abraham built an altar. And then he built an altar again in verse 8, and he called on the name of the Lord. See, at that altar, there was fellowship. There was relationship. It was an altar. It was a sacred place. And Abraham gave what he had on that altar. Now, he left Haran with some stuff. He had Lot. He had some things. The Bible doesn't say what he gave, but I know that he gave something. Amen? I'll tell you what. Any attempt to obey God will not go unnoticed. So Abraham was faithful to give his life. He was faithful to give an offering on an altar. Now, when you offer a burnt offering, can you get anything back once you give it? No, because that offering then becomes ashes. All right? But the smoke ascends up to the Lord finds it pleasing. A sweet savor. Oftentimes, burnt offerings were called a sweet savor because they would rise up to the Lord. See, when you give an offering, you're not giving it to man, you're giving it to God. It's going beyond what we see. It's going into the kingdom of God. All right? Let's go to chapter 14. And look at what Abram does here. And let's go with verse 16. We know that Abraham gathered his 318 trained servants, right? When the devil messes with your stuff, you have a right to get it back. How did his stuff get messed with? Three kings invaded this land where his nephew was. And when you have a covenant with God, when you're a friend with God, being in covenant with God means your fight is his fight. Your enemy is his enemy. But it also means that his blessings are your blessings. Now, I want you to notice something. We're talking about the faithfulness of Abraham. And we're specifically talking about his faithfulness to give. Verse 16. And he brought back all the goods. Say goods. How much did he bring back? All. And also brought again his brother Lot and his goods. And the women also and the people. So he brought back all the stuff. Because he heard a report that his stuff was being messed with. And he says, no, no, no. You know, he didn't take an arrogant stance, but he knew who his God was, and he took his 318 trained servants. He didn't even sit down to figure if that was enough. He knew that you don't mess with my stuff, and I'm going to take it back. Sometimes we need to rise up and take things back by force. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. So he recovered everything. He brought it back. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer and the kings that were with him. And verse 18. Now here's an interesting character. Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Who do you think is our priest of the Most High God? Jesus is the apostle and high priest of our profession. If you read about Melchizedek in Hebrews, it says he has no beginning and no end. This was an appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ before he appeared in bodily form. And they had communion, bread and wine, right? He was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. And said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand. Who delivered Abraham's enemies into his hand? It was God. He took his 318 trained servants, but they weren't just ordinary men. They were anointed men. They had the power of God. They had the wisdom of God. And when Abraham went into battle, he was ready because the Lord was on his side. See, when you're a friend of God, God will fight for you. And he brought all this stuff back. Even the king of Sodom and Gomorrah, which lost his stuff, he brought his stuff back too. Abraham just didn't bring his stuff. He brought everything back. And this priest came out and brought bread and wine, and they had communion. He blessed Abraham, and notice what Abraham does. Verse 20. He gave him tithes of some, right? What did Abraham do? He gave him tithes. I thought that a tithe was under the law. I thought that the tithe was under law. There was no law instituted here except the law of God. Why did God set only one tree aside in the garden? Adam had access to every other tree except for one. And he said, you don't mess with this tree. Don't touch that tree. Could that tree have been representative of a tithe? I don't know. Think about it. There's no scripture that says it, but think about it. How come Abel was able to bring an offering with the right heart before God and Cain wasn't? And even though Cain had an opportunity to change his ways, he could have changed his ways, but the first murder occurred over an offering. Because jealousy came in. But here, Abram, without an instruction of God, but he did have a relationship with God. He knew something about the nature and the character of God. Because otherwise, if you didn't know anything about the nature or the character of God, you would not follow him without him specific. God, I'm not going unless you show me exactly where I'm going. You point it out on the map. You paint a picture of it, Lord. See, if you have to have all the details, it's not faith. Being a detailed person is good, but there are some times when you have to not rely on all the details. It's called faith. It's called seeing what you can't see, knowing what you don't know. He tithed. He gave a tithe. Leviticus 27 says the tithe is holy. It belongs to the Lord. It also says if you want to use your tithe for your own self, it's going to cost you 20%. It'll require a fifth. If you want to make up your tithe. See, the tithe belongs to God. How did Abraham know that? See, he just went to a battle. He just had a great increase. He got all this stuff. He could have told those kings, I'm keeping this stuff. But he was met by the priest of God. See, he was faithful to give. He gave him tithes, a tenth. A tithe is a tenth of all. Of all, say of all. So, a faithful person will give a tenth to God of all their income. Someone say amen. Hallelujah. This was before the law was ever given. This tithe was based on a relationship with God. It was out of love for what God had done for him. And see, he established this pattern of giving to God before this ever came up. For every altar that Abraham built, he gave something to God. Now, I want you to see what happens. Verse 21, and the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to yourself. Oh, he was tempted. He was tempted to take the goods to himself. He was tempted. Verse 22, and Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. save only that which the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men which went with me. Let them take their portion. Now notice chapter 15, verse 1. After these things, say after these things. The word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am your shield. That word shield stands for provider, and your exceeding great reward. Isn't it funny? After Abraham paid tithes on all that he got, that God shows up in a vision that says, I am your shield, I am your provider, and your exceedingly great reward. See, when you're faithful in giving, I'm telling you, that pleases God's heart. Why? Because our Father is a giver. For God so loved the world, what did he do? He gave. He gave his best. He gave his number one son. And guess what? He is still reaping on that gift. Whoo. And Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? Even though Abraham was a giver, his vision was on what he was lacking. Seeing I go childless. He was looking at his childlessness. See, he knew that God promised him seed, descendants. And Abraham said, behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, that's not how it's going to be. That's my paraphrase. This shall not be your heir, but he shall come forth out of your own bowels or body shall be your heir. And he brought him abroad and said, look now towards heaven. Let me borrow you for a second, Mike, all right? So here's Mike. He was given a promise by God that he was gonna have become a great nation. In order to become a great nation, you gotta have kids, right? But he had just conquered this great battle. He was a tither, he's a giver, he's been faithful, but Lord, how come you're not giving me what I want, Lord? Seeing I go childless, what are you gonna give me? God says, come here. He says, I want you to look up. See those stars up there? See how many they are? Your descendants are going to be like that. Thank you. What did he do? He had to change his vision, his perspective. He had to have him look up. And he said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if you'll be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed the Lord. See, just that slight change of perspective got his eyes off the lack, and he put it on God, and he believed God. Now faith entered his heart. Now he's faithful. But he was faithful to pay tithes. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats burst out with new wine. How many would like plenty? How many would like new wine? Well, you got to honor the Lord with your stuff. How do you honor the Lord with your stuff? You give it. You give it. You be faithful in giving. If you want the privileges of Abraham, you've got to have the faith of Abraham. You've got to have the boldness to step out and to do what God wants you to do. Okay? And Numbers 18:21 says the tithe was given to the priests for the work of the tabernacle. That's what it was designated for. Let's see what other things Abraham gave. Go to chapter 22. Chapter 22. So let's see, Abraham gave his life, right? He gave offerings on the altars that he built, right? He gave tithes of all, say of all. All right, so he was faithful in these things. Now let's look at chapter 22, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, here I am. Woo, weren't they walking close? All God had to do was say, Abraham, and he says, here I am. He was walking with God. He was close to God. God didn't have to yell. He didn't have to shout. He said, Abraham, he said, here I am. Come on now. And he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and get into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you. That thing that you love the most, God is saying, I want you to give it. Only the faithful will respond with a yes. Abraham didn't say, but God, he's my only son, God wants my only son. Look at verse 3. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Boy, if you'd have picked a day to sleep in, it would have been that day. What's going on? Oh, I just don't feel like getting up. Why? Because God wants something of me. Oh, I don't feel like doing it. God wants something of me. He rose up early and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him without hesitation, without delay. He obeyed instantly. He obeyed immediately. He was faithful. He was about to, God asked him for his greatest thing that he ever had, his only son. He believed for this son for 25 years. He loved this son. He gave everything to his son. And God wants him now. What he wants is he wants faithfulness in your heart. Because watch. He rose up early. He went to the place where God had said, verse 4, that on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. He had a vision. He knew exactly. He saw the target. It was in his sights. Verse 5, Abraham said to his young men, now this is important. Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He knew full well that if Isaac had to die, he would have been resurrected. Because he said, I and the lad will come back. You stay here, I and the lad are going to go worship, and we are going to come back. That's faith. Now, this was not the first thing that God asked Abraham to do. He asked him to do little things. Leave your home. Leave your family. I had to leave my home, my family, and go to a land called Tulsa that I've never been to before. I did. I can remember sitting in my apartment on a Wednesday night when my parents left. They came, they helped me get set up into an apartment, and they left. And I sat on my living room floor and wept. Why? Because it was my first time away from home in an unknown territory, in a place I'd never been to. But I went there because God told me to go. I was following what God said. I was doing what God told me to do, and I was keeping his promise to me. And it was tough. I slept on a cot that my feet hung over 6 inches. The only furniture I had was a folding card table and 2 folding chairs. What clothes couldn't fit in my closet were in boxes. Someone, towards the end of my first year, bought me a brand new bed. I had a little red Toyota pickup truck. And they said, we need your truck to haul this bed. So they took me to the store. They loaded up in my truck. They said, this bed is yours. Take it to your apartment. They gave me a brand new bed with 2 sets of sheets and covers. A person whom I just met, his name was Jonesy. That's what they called him anyway. Has God ever asked you to give that which you love? Are you going to be faithful to do it? There's a greater blessing than your ties to that thing or to that person. See, if Abraham would have said no, then God's blessing would have been stopped and limited in his life. And so he took Isaac, verse 6, up to the mountain with the knife. And Isaac, who was a wise boy, he said, Dad, and his father said, here I am, son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? You know, he's thinking, something's not right with this picture. Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there. Was that hard for Abraham to build an altar there? He was about to give his greatest gift on this altar. See, anytime God leads you to build an altar, there's an offering required. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not your hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. It was a test, and God wanted to see faithfulness in his heart. He wanted to see if he would be willing to give God. See, sometimes we get attached to this or to that or to this person in our life, and when we have to give it up, it destroys our life. It seems like our life falls apart. But in essence, God is seeing if we'll be faithful, if we have a faithful heart. Remember, how do you tell if someone's faithful? Over a period of time and when opposition comes. And there was Abraham with the knife, looking over his son, whom he believed God for 25 years. Now he wants me to give it up. So Abraham was faithful to give all that he had to God, his only son. And isn't it funny, because God was in covenant with Abraham, that God in turn gave his only son. And you know what? Jesus was probably crucified on the very same place on Moriah. Think about that. You don't think that your gift has an eternal value? That act of being faithful to offer that gift caused the blessing of God's only son to affect the whole earth. And God fulfilled his word that he spoke to Abraham back in the beginning. Because Abraham was faithful to do all that God told him to do. He was faithful in giving. Say, I'm faithful in giving. I give of myself. I give of my gifts. I give of my time. I give of my talents. I give of my goods to the Lord. And however he wants to use it, let him. I just want to show you one other thing. Go to Genesis 24. And look at verse 35 and 36. This is Eliezer, Abraham's top employee, who's been with him for a long time. He was finding a wife for Isaac, and he said, and the Lord has blessed my master greatly. Who blessed him? Do you think if he was not faithful in giving that the Lord would have blessed him as much? No. Amen. You guys are a sharp crowd. And he has become great, and he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, men servants, maid servants, camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare him a son to my master when she was old. And unto him has he given all that he had. The Bible says, leave an inheritance for your children's children. Abraham was also faithful to give to the next generation. He was able to set Isaac up so that when Isaac was married and Abraham went on to be with the Lord, that Isaac had all that God had blessed Abraham with. And we know that God perpetuated that blessing in Isaac, that he perpetuated that blessing in Jacob. And now it's been established for eternity. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because one man was faithful to give. And anytime God asked him to, I want you to leave, okay, I'm gone. I want you to give on the altar, okay, here's an altar. I want you to give a tithe, okay, here's my tithe. I want you to give your son, who, here he is. No, he didn't say that. But you see, Abraham grew in his relationship with the Lord. He grew in his faithfulness. His faith grew. And he was able to trust God in greater ways. God was able to trust him with bigger things. God's not going to ask you to give the thing that you love, the first thing that is. He's going to ask you simple things. He wants to see if you'll be faithful. He wants to see if you'll carry out what his desire, if you carry out his will. After all the stuff that we have is his anyway. And when you give it to God, he said give in Luke 6:38, and it. What's the it? It's whatever you give. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will God cause men to give into your bosom. So you cannot outgive God. But giving is part of God's plan. It's part of his plan to prosper us. Giving is a cure for greed. Well, if I get a lot of stuff, I'm going to be greedy. No, just give it, and that's a cure for greed. And don't be tied to this world stuff. Does that mean God doesn't want... Look, Abraham had some stuff, didn't he? He had servants, he had flocks, he had herds, he had gold, he had silver. But any time that the Lord needed it, he made it available for God. And when we're faithful in giving, God's blessing, the empowerment to increase, will be released to us. It says so in his word. And it was the blessing that made the difference in Abraham's life. I want to read something from Isaiah and then I'm closing. Isaiah 51, verse 2. Well, verse 1 says, "Hearken to me, you that follow after righteousness, you that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock where you are hewn, and the hole of the pit where you are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." Because he was faithful to respond to the call. He kept the command. Not just one time, but throughout his life. And, of course, the more we have, the more is required of us. Amen? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would transform us into vessels of honor that could be filled up and poured out with your anointing, with your goods, with your love, with your power. In the name of Jesus, I just give you thanks and praise for that, Father, right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And maybe you're here today, and maybe you just need to consecrate, dedicate, and commit yourself to do what God wants you to do in the name of Jesus. Let this be a Gethsemane experience. And said, Lord, if what you're calling me to do can pass, let it pass, but not my will, yours be done. If you want to renew or refresh or strengthen your commitment to God to allow him to do what he wants to do in your life, today is the day. I want you to come to the altar and I want you to present your life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And I want you to allow God's power to transform you in Jesus' name. If that's you, I'm calling you to come up.